Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
One hour left in Grant and Danny. Chad Dukes versus the world at 2. When his show ends, Caps pregame begins at 6:30 tonight. They play at 7 in Carolina. They're up 2-0 in their playoff series with the Canes. Ben Raby hosts pre and post on the Caps radio network. You will hear him tonight on The Fan, and he joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Ben, much appreciate the time as always. Your thoughts on two competitive games, including an overtime thriller against Carolina so far?
Yeah, I think a few points to take from the first two games. I think among the biggest storylines, look, Todd Reirden has acknowledged this, Capitals headliners, the leadership group, the Ovechkins, the Backstroms, the Carlsons, the Orpiks, they've all looked very good in the first two games. And I think one of the biggest differences in the series so far is, conversely, if you look at the Carolina Hurricanes, you look at some of their headliners, you look at the key cogs that helped get them to the postseason for the first time in a decade, they've been relatively quiet so far in the series. The Sebastian Ajos, for example, Nino Niederreiters, they're headliners. And I think really that's one of the big differences. And Ovechkin and Backstrom in particular, been very impressed with their play, really carrying over, if you will, what we saw last spring, albeit just two games into this one.
Ben, the Michael Kempney loss is just enormous, obviously, for this team. It's been a mix and match. You only saw a handful of minutes from Christian Juice. How do you think it's going so far, and how do you think it will go the rest of this series and through the postseason?
Yeah, I think Carlson and Jensen have handled themselves fairly well in terms of that primary top pairing that we've seen so far, but I think it's no coincidence that with the Capitals leading quite a bit in the first two games, we've seen quite a bit of Brooks Orpik. Look, his play speaks for itself, right? How much fun has it been to watch Brooks Orpik to start this series and the 17-plus minutes he played in Game 1 and the physicality, even before getting the overtime game-winning goal the other night? I think Brooks Orpik has shown, albeit again in just two games this spring, that he sort of has another level this time of year. We saw it last spring as well. He's sort of built for the postseason. And I think as much as we're seeing Carlson and Jensen as the primary number one pair, look, I'm not going to suggest Brooks Orpik is a number one pair defenseman right now, but it wouldn't surprise me as the series and as the postseason goes along and the minutes get bigger and the game situations when you're protecting a lead in third periods, wouldn't be surprised if we continue to see quite a bit of Orpik and almost a little bit of a rotation between Jensen and Orpik skating alongside John Carlson in the primary number one pair, if you want to call it that.
Ben Raby on Grant and Danny. Our Caps discussion today and each day on this show presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. With office furniture solutions for every budget, visit PVIPVI.com today. John Carlson has a pair of, Nicholas Backstrom has a pair of goals in Game 1 and then a goal in Game 2, and only John Carlson has more shots on net than Backstrom through these two games. What can you say about the performance of a guy that always seems to live in Ovi's shadow but has emerged as the dude carrying this team early on?
Yeah, look at him finding the back of the net three times total, right, between the two games. And, you know, two of those goals, he's parked atop the crease and, you know, some terrific feeds helping make those goals possible, one of which from Ovechkin. So it's a little bit of a role reversal there, and I found it interesting, Grant, that the first of the goals that Backstrom got in the series, or his second goal in Game 1, I should say, from atop the crease, was on the power play, and it was a little bit of a different look from the Capitals on the power play. Typically, we see Backstrom, as you noted, the distributor, right, working the half wall and sort of being the power play quarterback in that sense, looking for his teammates, and here he was parked atop the crease. And it was Kuznetsov feeding him for a power play goal in Game 1. So some different looks there and some versatility apparently from Nick Backstrom that they've been able to take advantage of. But also been really impressed with the passing that we've seen from Alex Ovechkin. The two primary assists the other day in game two. You know, sometimes you get an assist, maybe, you know, puck skimmed you or whatever. The assist that Alex Ovechkin had the other day, he created those plays off the rush, and just his passing and then Backstrom with the finish, just a very impressive, little bit of a role reversal there that we've seen so far.
Catch Ben Raber tonight on the Capitals broadcast right here on 106.7 The Fan. What adjustments do you anticipate from Carolina, Ben? Because they got to do something different, right? They've been getting off to a deficit here in these games. They fought back and made them both really close contests, obviously. But how do they get off to a good start? What do you think Rod Brindamore has in his pocket?
Yeah, well, to that point, a good start, I think, from a Capitals side of things tonight, just sort of weather the first 10 minutes, because this place tonight, PNC Arena, it's going to be jumping. I would imagine the Hurricanes are going to feed off the energy a little bit. Again, first playoff game here since 2009. I am in the parking lot right now. A handful of folks have already came to the rink early for the tailgating experience here. But imagine it's going to be a raucous building tonight in the Hurricanes. At least to start, you would think they take advantage of that. And as far as specific adjustments, look, touched on it earlier, their headliners, their top six forwards, they've been getting very little productivity from that. So one personnel adjustment they have tonight, without going into too much detail, Andrei Svechnikov, the 19-year-old who started the series out on their third line, 20-goal scorer during the regular season. He's moving up the depth chart tonight onto the second line, maybe a little bit of a personnel change there to get the top six going, because, again, a lot of their headliners, a lot of the key cogs from the regular season haven't been able to produce, and maybe they're able to take advantage on home ice Carolina tonight of some more favorable matchups as they will have the last change. But if they are to get back into the series, it's going to have to be from those top six, which have been pretty quiet so far.
Svechnikov scored both of their goals in game one, obviously. He's Ben Raby. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. The game will be heard right here on The Fan at 7 o'clock, about 6 hours from right now. The puck will be dropped. Brayden Holtby's in Fuego. Last seven games, including the regular season, 7-0, 1.85 goals against, .938 save percentage. In fact, in playoff play, if you go back to the save, he's 6-0 in playoff starts with a 2.16 and a .927. It looks like he's dialing it back in where he was during the cup run.
Yeah, and you know what? Historically, even for Brayden Holtby as well, I feel like it slipped under the radars all the years that the Capitals had their postseason shortcomings. It was very rarely, if ever at all, the fault of Brayden Holtby. He has historically, since his coming out party in 2012 against the Boston Bruins, Holtby has had a knack for elevating his play this time of year, has put up terrific numbers, has come up with big saves at key times, and sort of just more of the same this year. But certainly, if you think back to the regular season, the finish he had down the stretch in the regular season, what a difference a year makes, right? When you think about last year and starting out as Philip Grubauer's backup and that whole storyline, which just seems like such a long time ago at this point. Good on Brayden Holtby for the getting back on track late this season and sort of carrying that into the spring, because, again, he has historically, with the exception of the start of last year serving as the backup, this has always been Brayden Holtby's time to shine, and good on him for doing more of the same this spring.
Benjamin, you think about that epic run last year, so many heroes, right? Obviously, the headliners, your Kuznetsovs, your OVs, putting up a bunch of points in the headline guys, as you kind of alluded to here. But there were also so much Devontae Smith-Pelly. There was Jacob Vrana. There was Brett Connolly with big moments. Those secondary guys haven't really gotten going yet, and it's two games. Yeah. Obviously, the story hasn't been written, but a small adjustment looks like Vrana back on the second line. But do you see more production here over the next couple games, few games possibly, for those second-tier guys, that a bunch of guys north of 20 goals on this club this year?
Yeah, that's a very good point, and I actually thought we would have seen that right from the get-go in the series. I actually thought going into the series that sort of the top six on both sides would kind of cancel each other out, and the further down the depth chart you go, the bigger advantage it actually is for the Capitals. If you look at the third and fourth lines of both teams, I know Andrei Svechnikov, who we alluded to, is moving up the depth chart for Carolina tonight, but really, if you look at the bottom six on both teams coming into the series, that was a big check mark in the Capitals' favor, and one that they just haven't been able to fully take advantage of yet so far this series. So maybe, again, as the Capitals try to continue with the momentum, that is an area that they say they have yet to play their best. Five-on-five play has been a little inconsistent for the Capitals. I would think if they are to gain a little bit more in that regard, you're right, it'll be from the bottom six maybe. And tonight, to that point, Eller and Connolly, we'll be joined once again by Carl Hagelin, a third line which certainly on paper should be able to do some damage.
Ben Raby is not only good to talk Caps with, but also Dumb and Dumber. If you ever have any Dumb and Dumber needs, he is your guy. He's very upset still that burger got left on the counter after the rat poison was given to Joe Menolino. The burger looked so good,
Ben. How's your burger?
Why don't you eat up and we'll tell you.
Thanks, buddy. Always appreciate having you on the show.
Appreciate it. Likewise. Thank you, guys.
See you, my
friend. We'll be listening to him pre and post tonight. We are only 6 hours away from Game 3 for the Caps. They go up 3-0 tonight. I think people will be feeling pretty good about getting past Carolina and into Round 2.
And it reminds me, the moment where Joe goes down because he's been poisoned and he knows it, and Lloyd still thinks it's a prank, and Jim Carrey gives him the, and points at him and laughing.
Yeah.
That's a gif I'm going to have to employ in the near future. For some kind of thing. That's a note to myself.
But
good job.
Hard to find GIFs when you search them out for specific scenes.
Yes.
Because most people search GIFs by keyword. So you say like happy, sad, angry, nervous. So to just find something from a film is going to be difficult.
It's not easy. I wish I knew how to make them myself, but I need that one. That's a great one. When Joe's going to die and they just think it's a prank because they put some hot peppers in there.
And that's a good skill to have. The make your own gif skill.
Make your own gif.
Let's do a Caps stock report next. Who's the arrow trending up on? What about the arrow down? Who do we need more out of as we continue this postseason here in D.C.? Well, Caps stock report on Grant and Danny next. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Last half hour of the show starting at 1:30. Let's look ahead to the night that will be in sport outside of just D.C. There's really not a better time than this. You got NBA playoffs going on, NHL playoffs as well. Of course, Major League Baseball's hot and heavy. It's a rare night off, believe it or not, for the Nationals. Those are so few and far between when they actually get going. But there's something to choose from for everyone. The NFL draft this time next week will be on the horizon. And in any sport, whatever you like, the Masters just finishing up this weekend. You got something to talk about. It's either a game or a storyline.
You just had the NCAA tournament, which is a spectacle unlike any other. You've got, as you mentioned, baseball season underway, and there's still every pitch, every game you're living or dying with before you kind of get into the grind of June, July, where it's the dog days. But you overreact to every two-game streak. You're like, oh, my God, the Nationals lost 2 of 3. You wouldn't even notice in July. But just how it is. This time of year is great. It's second place, of course, to the fall. But between this, like, what the distance between 2 and 1 is not that large.
I actually give this my number one.
You'd like it better than the fall?
I do. I give this my number one because I've got major league games to watch, as many of them as I want. West Coast, East Coast. I could watch 7 to 10 if I want to. I've got the NBA playoffs, which is imminently better than the regular season basketball in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the NHL playoffs, which is a nice spike from the NHL playoffs in the fall.
Sure, it is a spike, man.
I've got the NFL draft, which I'm just a huge fan of, and I can read hours and hours of content on the draft, watch all the videos and analysis, and read all the mocks. I'll never get tired of that. In addition to those things, you've got a opening weekend more than anything else, but a March Madness tournament that is, to me, captivating. And you've got the Masters. I always watch the Masters on Sunday, even though I'm not a golf fan. Am I leaving anything out? I mean, that's a pretty strong march into April right there.
It's a full plate.
What's the fall argument? What am I missing?
NFL games.
Yeah, I mean, I got the draft that kind of makes the NFL 32 teams deep, whereas games, 15, 16 teams have a shot most weeks, you know, to come out and look good. But I get it.
Yeah, NFL games, which also means fantasy, daily fantasy, and everything associated with that. It's taken over the world.
Now, are you going September, October, November, when?
October.
Okay.
Because in October, I got playoff baseball. Yep. I got the start of the NHL and NBA seasons. Just the kickoff. Not as good as playoffs, obviously.
Yeah.
So in that category, you win. You win more categories in the spring, but the overall goodness
of the NFL.
NFL and World Series, to me, is just hard to beat.
I get it. Baseball, I think I win as well, because the World Series, while it's a big deal, you got two teams playing. And there's a lot of nights.
Well, so the World
no
Series
game.
Itself, but the I mean,
right
postseason
now, Major League Baseball
though.
Every single night to have. I'll watch, and most people I know don't care as much about baseball, but like I will generally watch every minute of a Nats game, while the Nats are on break, I'll catch as much of the Orioles as I can. And then I'll watch a 10:05 game almost in its entirety until I go to bed. Like, I might get in 6 hours of baseball a night. World Series-wise, you can't really do that.
No, you can't. Unless it's, you know, an American League city and then there's 900 pitching changes, then you might get to 6 hours.
Then it's possible.
But you go down the stretch, September, October, pretty good.
Let's get to your Caps stock report. Arrow trending up, arrow trending down on who. I'm going to go up first, if you don't mind. Alex Ovechkin, game two performance virtuoso, just epic. Two assists to set up two goals that were masterful. The Backstrom backdoor goal where he just delayed and fired a puck across the crease was beautiful. His pass with timing, kind of coming toward the center of the ice and setting up Tom Wilson on the fly, was also scintillating. But how about the effort and the hustle and the energy he showed? There's this video, and it's probably a GIF, it's short enough, that's making its way all around the internet now, where he basically hustles down on the forecheck, a puck, drills a hurricane up against the board, steals the puck, fires it on net, and then goes and sprays the goaltender with snow in the crease, all in the span of about 8 seconds. Dude wants to go back-to-back, stock up on Ovechkin.
Nicklas Backstrom. Yes, man, yes. Three goals, yeah, two of them are Dom Daly-style crashing the net, but the other was a snipe. Don't be afraid to unleash that. You got a good shot. He's always looking to pass, and that's a scouting report. Every once in a while, the point guard's got to score two to remind you that that's a threat. He's done that. He's played exceptional Nicklas Backstrom hockey. What's so cool about last year's Stanley Cup run is, remember, yeah, he played a bunch of the games, but he wasn't himself for probably four or five, and he missed four or five of those games last year as well. He's doing the Nick Backstrom things that have led him to be one of the best and least, you know, or criminally underappreciated players. The couple shot blocks down the stretch in game number one, making always the right play with the puck. Second on the team in shots on goal in this postseason through two games. Backstrom was playing great Nicklas Backstrom hockey.
Game one, Brooks Orpik, team high 7 hits. Game two, game winner in overtime. This guy elevates his game. He is a playoff performer. He's big, he's physical, and at 38 years old, he can't play this way all season. But he's emptying the tank right now, and I love watching it.
Stock down.
Couple guys I could choose from, but I'll start here. Andre Burakovsky, averaging 6 minutes time on ice, has not been a factor to this point in the postseason. Now, he wasn't a factor in a lot of games last year in the postseason, but it wasn't until that breakout moment against Tampa where he scored those two goals to throttle the Capitals into the Stanley Cup final. They need to get something from guys on the bottom six, and he's got enough talent to be the guy that takes advantage of a bad possession or a turnover in the middle of the ice to create something. So far, a whole bunch of zeros next to his name. He's played in two games, zero shots, zero hits, zero everything else except for a minus one on plus minus, only 6 minutes on ice. Got to do something.
Stock down.
Speaking of limited minutes, Christian Jews can't be trusted enough to play right now other than occasionally at even strength. No penalty kill time for him. Obviously, he's not going to play on the power play. So when there's a lot of special teams work, he gets a lot of time on the bench. He is down now from under 7 minutes in the first game to barely over 5 minutes in the second game. He's going to wear down the other defensemen on this team if he can't help them a little bit more. So the stock down on him, and I'll double down on what you said for Burakovsky for a higher ceiling, better player, and my boy Jakub Vrána. Jake Vrána has just two shots on net through two games. He's pointless. He himself, who's actually on a better line than Andre Burakovsky with better skill around him, needs to produce more. I believe you're going to see him back on his traditional second line like we saw at points in the third period, which actually helped garner one of the two shots he's got in this series in game two. But he was set up to fail in some ways by Todd Reardon when he was moved down a line. I want to move him back up and let him be Jake Vrána again.
When he wasn't here, I hated his guts. I couldn't stand to see him. He struck fear into my heart. He was going to get that extra possession. He was going to have that difficult forecheck that made it impossible for my defenseman to clear the zone. He was going to eliminate the space on the power play and take away all my options. Now he's mine. Carl Hagelin. Yes, Carl Hagelin. Thank you for being here, Carl Hagelin. Odd Man Rush is started by you, Carl Hagelin. Your speed's the intimidating thing for the other team. The other fan base has to worry about it. Not this guy. I got two thumbs and like Carl Hagelin, and I'm putting it myself. Yes, Carl Hagelin.
Grant and Danny on the fan. The stock's always up on Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks, one of the better quarterbacks in football. Could we see him playing for a different team? We've got a Russell Wilson update for you next on the fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He has set up now a deadline to get his deal in place. According to Adam Schefter of ESPN, he does not intend to sign a contract extension with Seattle if one is not reached by his midnight tonight deadline. So this is just something he set up, he imposed. He said, look, after tonight, I'm going to work. I'm not focusing on this. I never really buy this. This is a negotiational strategy. It obviously works for players. It provides leverage because you give a back-to-the-wall kind of hard deadline. But Danny, if they came to him with the money that it would take to sign him in 2 weeks, he got the offer he and his agent floated in this negotiation right now as necessary and pertinent. Nah, I can't sign. I need blank. And then they give him that and everything he wants. In 2 weeks, he wouldn't sign that deal.
I know, it's
have
one of
to
those...
imagine. It's as simple as saying yes at that point.
Yeah, I'm walking
a piece
away.
Of paper.
I'll leave. I totally will. The issue at hand is now the Seahawks have kind of gotten away with. That's like they didn't commit any crimes here. But they had him on the cheap for a while, won the Super Bowls, and as they're rebuilding the roster with a more market value deal, he wants to now be, and understandably, the latest and greatest to get his money. And he's asking for, in terms of dollars, and guys have kind of done this to some degree, he wants his money to go up as a percentage of the salary cap. So instead of saying, for sake of argument, let's say that there's $100,000 to play with, and you go, well, right now I'm at 50% of the salary cap at 50 grand, but if it goes up to $200,000, I'll be at 55 grand just because I'm getting a slight pay raise each year. He's saying the percentage of the salary cap that I am now, I want to be that when it goes up even more. So when you guys have $20, $30, $40 million to play with, I'm getting the exact same chunk of change. It's a new way to do deals, and teams have no interest in making that a precedent.
Yeah, I wonder what the Players Association ultimately will think about that as well, because it's good for the player, Russell Wilson, or if it was Kirk Cousins with the leverage negotiating who wanted it at one point in time. I don't know that it's great for everybody else, though, because if your number keeps rising with the salary cap based on the cap, it does mean there is less of that pizza to be eaten by other players, so to speak. But Russell Wilson's an interesting guy in that when he first broke into the league, he was crowned as Mr. NFL, great quarterback. He's going to win Super Bowls, MVP in waiting. And it happened because everything kind of came easily. He handed the ball off a lot, and he was a caretaker, and he didn't turn the football over. 26 touchdowns, 10 picks, had a quarterback rating of 100 as a rookie in 16 games, completed 64% of his passes, but he barely threw for 3,000 yards. His rookie year, to me in a lot of ways, was just an indictment against how we viewed quarterbacking in the sense that people rushed to clap like seals for him when the fact was it was so easy for him in that offense with Marshawn Lynch and that running game and their weapons to just kind of guide them to that record with the best defense in the league. The next year, and you give them credit for this, they put a little more on his plate, 400 more passing yards. Completion percentage actually went down a little bit, but so did the interceptions, and the rating came up. Then he actually had to start throwing the football and winning football games, and he regressed a little bit. But you've now seen him come back on the other side. His 2017 34 touchdown year, where he was right around 4,000 passing yards, even though the rating was down because he threw 11 picks, that was a lot more him and a lot less the guys around him. They ran the ball better than anybody last year, so it was just about him kind of making plays in the red zone. 35 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He kind of Aaron Rodgers'd his way to being one of the best passers in the league. But he's no longer what he was as a kid.
Right.
Early on,
this is
was,
the hope when you draft. I say guy absolutely. Like that. It's not like that many. But when you draft a guy that you're going to gimmick to an all.
Yes.
Like Baltimore, this is what they want from Lamar Jackson. This is what a team that's going to use some of that read option stuff. It's what the Redskins, frankly, hoped from Robert Griffin.
Develop him into a passer. It's not even always from the pocket because he's so small at 5'10 and change. They got to move the pocket. It's inside the quote-unquote tackle boxes, which sometimes ends up outside you know, the hash marks toward the numbers for Russell Wilson. But they move him all over the place. You never know where he's going to be, and he can make downfield throws. Russell Wilson is special. He really is an elite player at the position now. But this is, I think, the book that should be read on grooming quarterbacks, to your point. We shouldn't knock QBs like him or Dak Prescott, who have it real easy as rookies. We just shouldn't rush to crown them as
this guy's a top five
quarterback in the league. No, he isn't. He just happened to have a really good situation. But they're allowing him to get his feet wet. They're going to teach him to swim. And in Seattle, over a couple of years, they did that, and they're reaping the benefits now. I think he only plays with Seattle for the next several years. Whether he signs now or later, they'll tag him. I mean, if Kirk Cousins is getting tagged twice, Russell Wilson's not going anywhere.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, it was funny. I read a couple of the think pieces about where might he be traded. He's not going to be traded. I mean, the Giants, I guess, if they have multiple first-round picks, two this year, and maybe they could do a couple things to do that, it's not happening, I wouldn't think. Now, I could get old takes exposed here by my declarative statement, but I think something gets worked out here. I think everyone knows the situation that they're in. I mean, you look over the last four seasons, he's averaged basically 4,000 yards. Last year, an exception, by the way. They really, 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 really ran the ball an awful lot last year, kind of stunningly so. But has averaged 4,000 yards, just over 30 touchdowns, and about 9 interceptions. And he's been sensational. And a lot of times, because they've had so much talent and money invested in their defense, it's been, hey, Russ, hey, bud, I know we got a design here, but you're going to have to escape 3 or 4 rushes, make a play on your own, okay, pal? He's gotten Bateman, and they've done it. And they've been a double-digit win team all but 1 year in his career. Not an accident. That guy's a stud, and I would lock him up.
Going into this season, I'm trying to think of the quarterbacks I would rather want on my team over Russell Wilson going into this year. I would rather have Aaron Rodgers, definitely. That's one.
Sure.
Let me just go through now the list of the passers who kind of did the most last season. Would you rather have Ben Roethlisberger or Russell Wilson?
Honestly, Russell Wilson. I know that sounds a little bit hot take-ish because Roethlisberger is a Hall of Famer, putting up great numbers. I'm now on the baggage, at least the smoke around the baggage. I'll take Russell Wilson, who you don't see anything like that about.
Yeah, I don't think it's hot take-ish at all. I agree with you. I don't even think it's that close. Pat Mahomes or Russell Wilson? I think I'm going to go Pat Mahomes. It's recency effect, but 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards last year.
Mahomes.
Now, a lot of that's the offense he's in, but he is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's Mahomes for me.
Matt Ryan or Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson.
I'll go Russell Wilson, barely. Jared Goff, Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson.
Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson?
Luck.
I'll go, yeah, in the same offense, so to speak, I'll go Andrew Luck as well. Brady or Wilson?
Brady.
I'm going Wilson. Rivers or Wilson?
Ooh, that's a close one. Wilson. And I love Rivers.
I'm going Rivers. Eli or Wilson?
Oh, it's Rivers. Wilson.
Cousins or Wilson?
Wilson.
Deshaun Watson or Wilson?
I love Deshaun Watson, but Wilson.
And I just kind of went through the top 11 in passing yards. By the way, Russell Wilson was 18th in passing yards.
Drew Brees.
I'll go Brees.
Yeah, I'll go Brees too.
So I've got Brees, Mahomes, Luck, Rodgers, and Rivers as the only guys I'd rather have than him.
Similar list for me. I added Brady. So, I mean, there you go. Maybe the greatest of all time. I might rather ride one more.
What a night in sports it's going to be. Hopefully you've got the previous channel button working on the remote and you don't have any plans. We will break it all down for you next on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Grant and Danny for our friends at Roofing Nation. Is that old roof beaten up from these harsh winters? I'm telling you, and these temperatures now. So the other day it's 75. Last night it goes down into the 50s at one point. There was a thunderstorm. Our weather is tough in this area. If you got leaks, cracked shingles, I can get you from Roofing Nation a new roof starting at only $3.99 a square foot, plus no interest for 18 full months. That sounds like a good deal. It's because it is.
Well, it's a great deal, Danny. What do you expect from our friends at Window Nation? They are the same Roofing Nation guys that we're talking about right now. High-quality GAF roofing system, warranted for life. Upfront pricing starting at $3.99 a square foot. No interest financing for 18 months. You can have affordable new roof from Roofing Nation right now. Call today, get a quote from Roofing Nation. A design consultant is waiting to hear from you. No gimmicks, unsurpassed quality, factory certified installers, start to finish, guaranteed. So call Roofing Nation, 833-4NATION, 833-4NATION, or go to roofingnation.com. Greg Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Have a couple of days, Chris Davis. He gets his first hit after 54 unsuccessful at-bats this weekend. He just hit his first home run of the season at Fenway Park in Boston. Chris Davis is off the schneid.
He is on fire.
About 10 more hits in his next 20 or so at-bats, and he's up over 150 with his batting average.
You sure he's sitting over 150 if he goes 10 for 10? I think he's like 130-something if he goes 10 for 10.
I think that'll get him where he needs to be. Tonight's NBA playoffs. The Brooklyn Nets look to go up 2-0 on the Philadelphia 76ers. Nick Ashew on the Blitz late last week said that Brooklyn was going to give Philly all they could handle. I kind of thought this had sweep written all over it. He said, no, this Nets team's pretty good.
Yeah, the Nets are right.
They took the 76ers in game one and did pretty much what they wanted at the end of that game. Philadelphia needs to bounce back at home or else they're going to Brooklyn down a couple games.
So Embiid's knee is banged up. He wasn't quite himself.
What was the controversy? There were two players looking at a phone on the bench.
So you had Amir Johnson checking what Embiid's story was. Embiid was sitting next to him. Is that Amir Johnson's daughter was sick and he was checking on her, and that was the story, and we were kind of not really probed into that. I didn't see much else beyond that, but they were ticked that he was doing that. They find him and they'll move on from there. And they said Amir Johnson understood and so on. So I guess that was what it was. I don't know if they were checking scores or what they were really doing, but that was the story that was given.
I need no one checking their phones during a playoff game on the bench for any reason.
Not asking
for a lot.
I know it's not. Can I tell you the thing that annoyed me?
Yeah.
The people that correctly said that, by the way, and then the response is, you mean you never check your phone at work?
Someone did that?
Yeah. A lot of people are doing that. It's not the same.
It's not the same at all.
It's not the same. Let's just all get that out in the open. Not the same.
There's 48 minutes where you don't get to check your phone today.
Not the same.
48. Let's find a way to get through those 48 minutes without doing that.
Let's see if you can do it.
Somehow in the history of basketball, everyone else has been okay somehow figuring this out.
Yep.
The Clippers and the Warriors tonight. A lot was made about Golden State not being a powerhouse anymore, that they wouldn't wax the Western Conference and wipe the floor with all their opponents. I guess we'll still find out whether or not someone's going to give them a run for their money this postseason, but I don't believe it's going to be the Clippers. Steph Curry went off in game one. They play at 10:30 Eastern, doubleheader on TNT. First game tips off at 8, this one at 10:30. I got the Warriors going up 2-0. I think they win this series. Maybe a gentleman sweep where they give up one game in L.A., but I would even be surprised by that.
Me too. Golden State now can flip a switch. They're good enough to do it. They cruised through the regular season. They were bored. They took nights off, a number of them. They are now on that. We've played an extra season more than everybody else that we're competing with because of all the playoff games and all the playoff wins we've had. They can afford to do that. They're that good. Their test will come in round two with Houston. Utah, I thought, would give Houston more of the business in round number one. I thought Utah would be able to play better defense than they did. They had a nice plan. It's just that, you know, they left shooters open and Houston made them pay, and Utah couldn't score on their end. So that's the matchup. Once again, it's Golden State-Houston in round two is what it looks like.
Let's get to the NHL playoffs. There are four games tonight. Four. Two going on at the same time, one of which is the Caps and the Canes, so we know what you guys will be watching. Washington looking to get up 3-0. Of course, you can hear that game at 7 o'clock right here on The Fan. Pre-game begins about a half hour before that. But elsewhere in the NHL at that time, over on NBC Sports Network, the Bruins are playing the Maple Leafs. This is a 1-1 series. For my money, I think this will be the best series of this first round. I expect Boston to win. They lost game one. They came back and even the series. It shifts to Toronto. The scene in Toronto tonight, north of the border, is going to be unbelievable. John Tavares' first game with the Leafs in the playoffs. They had great production in Boston from their young kids. Mitch Marner had a field day. Austin Matthews played very well. So now you've got the Leafs and the Bruins in game three. I think Toronto wins tonight. Boston wins game four and eventually wins the series in six, something like that.
You think so? Wow.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are smarter than me, obviously, about the Ucky, and you're one of them, of course, love Boston.
I picked Boston.
Did you say Toronto would win?
I said Toronto wins tonight and Boston wins in six.
Oh, apologies. I didn't catch that follow-up part. Yeah, so
Boston, I've got Boston. This could end up being wrong, obviously. And
going
I hope
to the conference final, right?
I've got them coming out of the East.
So I'm wondering.
I have Boston beating the Caps in the Eastern Conference
final.
What
is it about them that's got people all geeked up?
First of all, I think it's that they can play as heavy or physical as anybody as they want that they play, but they're also super skilled and fast, get up and down the ice. They've got a line that, for my money, is the best line in the NHL. And I think that carries you through generally because you can just be better than the teams that you're playing against with the depth scoring right. that they've got. But Brad Marchand, who I hate.
I hate him so much.
Patrice Bergeron, who's really, really good, both off to good starts. I just think they have 6, 7, 8 guys who could all score 10 goals this postseason if they play enough games. Most teams don't have that.
Makes sense. Toronto's been on deck, it seems, for a while now. Right? I mean, it wasn't last year. It was the year before when they were the young upstart team that took a game or two from the Caps. And Nazem Kadri, by the way, that's my number one seed for biggest SOB in the sport. Please do more things to get yourself suspended, you dirty bastard. But Toronto's kind of been everybody's darling for a minute. And I think you're right. I think they probably lose this series to Boston again.
1-1, game 3 tonight. In the Western Conference, Nashville plays Dallas at 9:30 Eastern tonight on NBC Sports Network. That's a 1-1 series. I'm hoping that Nashville, just because I love watching games in that environment, they make a deep run, maybe all the way to the Cup. I'd love to see the Caps play them in the Stanley Cup, although that would be a tough matchup because they always beat the Capitals. And Calgary and Colorado, that's another 1-1 series on CNBC. By the way, I don't know what channel CNBC is, but that's where the Caps play tonight. On a national basis, I would just watch NBC Sports Washington.
I'm going to play it safe and listen to Joe B. and Locker talk about it.
That's probably the best way to do it.
There's MSNBC, there's CNBC, but that's your CBC?
No, CNBC. It's like the money channel, isn't it? Isn't that the one where the guy—
NBC. Is that where Kramer's mad all the time?
Yeah, he talks about, like, buy this, sell this.
Buy.
I couldn't find that on my TV if you gave me an hour.
I think you'd have to start where you feel comfortable that that's the first real channel. Right, let's say for me in D.C. it's 8:03.
Yep.
Right? Because you're at your HGs. And you just start going up one at a time. And you're patient and you really evaluate what it is.
You got to want it.
It's like in a motel when you don't have a channel guide. And you go, what do they have? And you try to figure it out.
So 6 total playoff games, NBA and NHL. Plus, you got Mets-Phillies tonight. Beat each other up a little bit. Would love to see those teams lose some games in the coming few days. Somebody's going to. Phillies hosting the Mets in Major League Baseball. Nats are idle. They've got the Giants tomorrow at Nationals Park, obviously. So they're off tonight. Anything not pictured here that we need to get to that's on the docket you're excited about this evening?
Well, you covered it, man. That's a lot.
One thing from today, then. Ty Jerome is entering the NBA draft from the University of Virginia.
Is he hiring an agent? I didn't see the story. Is he hiring an agent? Do we know?
Will hire an agent.
There you go. So he's going to be in.
Yes.
So he went from fringe guy to probably late first rounder with
their
championship run.
He's a weird basketball player. And I mean unorthodox, like every shot is off balance. Everything's a floater in the lane.
He's had to because he's not as quick or explosive as a lot of the guys he's going up against. I mean, it's the adapt-to-survive thing, right? You know what he reminds me of in terms of his game? Honestly, it's Grievous Vasquez. He's got
a
lot of that.
Good comp, actually.
Now, I think he's a better shooter, pure shooter, than Vasquez was, but a little bit less adept at getting to the rim and, you know, getting to the foul line because Vasquez was even bigger. But there's a lot of that game where it's a little bit has to be off the opposite foot or a little bit fall away or a little bit herky-jerky to his game. I think he can play because he's big enough. Usually, if you're going to be he'll be a point guard at the next level probably. But if you're a guard that can't keep up with the super quick guys, the Lillards and company of the world, you've got to figure out a different way to get to where you want to go and get your offense. Sort of Ricky Rubio to his game as well, I think. Maybe not as fluid of a passer, but he's an NBA player in my mind.
520 votes in at this point on what I should have for dinner at Black's Bar and Kitchen over in Bethesda tonight. The responses, 66% of you said steak and asparagus.
Yep.
19% of you said pork chop and Brussels sprouts. 15% of you said the lettuce wrap burger.
How binding is that, by the way? Are you going to do what the people say?
I am. I was leaning towards steak anyway.
Good for you.
Feeling a pork chop, so it's going to be steak and asparagus tonight.
That place is awesome, by the way. They're so good. That chain of restaurants, that family of restaurants, they just do such a good job.
Cannot wait to talk about Caps-Canes Game 3 when we are here tomorrow. We'll get you a preview of the Nats and the Giants as well. And tomorrow we will be officially 9 days away from the NFL draft, so we got to start going hard with what the Redskins might do at number 15.
Quick prediction for tonight for the Caps.
I think they win tonight, actually.
Do you really? You got a good 3-0 feel?
For some reason, I'm getting ultra confident here. I believe that Carolina's got to have gone back home and thought, how on earth do we beat this team? What are we supposed to do? I'm not sure that they sweep. I think that maybe they drop game 4, but I think they win tonight. I think it could be like a 4-1 type game.
So I was certainly wrong. I thought Carolina would get game 2 because I still think this is going to be a competitive series. You got to believe that they get 1, right? And it's more likely to be game 3 than game 4 if they're down 3-0. So I hate that I keep picking the Caps to lose. I do believe the Caps win this series, but I've got the same feeling you do about tonight. I weirdly think the Caps withstand the storm and end up winning, going away. They finally keep the pedal on and win like a 4-2 type game.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Thanks for listening. If you missed any part of today's show, including our previews to tonight's game with Joe Beninati and Ben Raby, go to thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. Chad Dukes versus the world starts right now.
History of baseball. Why is it different than rounders? What was happening for Double Day State? TVW.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.